Remain standing for the reading of God's word. Submitting to one another out of reverence to Christ. Let's pray. Father, though short this passage is, it is a very key verse in a very important part of your word. I pray that you would open the eyes of our hearts to see the fullness of your intentions for it. And we pray this all in the powerful name of Jesus and in the power of the Holy Spirit, we ask. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we finally come to this passage with the four-letter word in it, submission. Yeah, I know, some of you guys are going. It's a four-letter word in our culture because people hate that term. And people hate the fact that it is actually written in the Bible. The difficulty about expository preaching when you're walking through the text of a passage is you can't skip difficult passages. You can't skip difficult words. You have to go through them and see what God's intention is for them. But the question for us this morning is, why is this term submission a four-letter word in our culture? Now, I would suggest to you that it really isn't our culture's fault. Why do I say that? I say that simply because we know that the scriptures are God-breathed and that the Holy Spirit living within us causes us to see the Word of God and its import and application in our lives. The world, i.e. non-believers, doesn't have the Holy Spirit. Therefore, it sees and interprets through its own lens. But that's just one problem, but it's not the problem that is on our hearts today. What's our excuse? I want to suggest to you that the word submission is a four-letter word to our culture and almost a laughing mark for them, and that's our fault. Why is it our fault? First of all, I believe that there's been very poor biblical teaching on the subject of submission within the church. Meaning to say, it's often profoundly been one-sided. Wives, submit to your husbands. Period. But that's not where the period is. Neither is that the end of the passage. And so we've had poor biblical teaching on submission. Poor biblical teaching on submission leads to poor biblical application. Whether it's in the area of submission or whether it's in the area of any other aspect of life. When the scriptures are taught poorly, people live poorly. And Christians have lived these verses out poorly before a dying world. And then finally, there's been a lack of biblical accountability. There will be people, and some of you will know them, and their stories are simply this. Oh, my dad was an elder in the church. He always buttoned his jacket before he came into the sanctuary, because that's what righteous men do. But boy, when he got home, got a couple under his belt, the things that he said and did to my mom, and then told her to be quiet because it was in the Bible. And there was no accountability because nobody spoke to the wrongs that were done because of a lack of biblical understanding and application. That's why I think that the word submission has become a four-letter word and a struggle for many Christians. But I want to suggest that this is a wonderful passage for us to study this morning, and there are a couple reasons for it. First of all, because it calls us to submission mutually. We're called to mutual submission. This verse, we're not going to go on right now, we will for the next couple of weeks actually. This verse calls us to mutual submission. Submit to one another out of reverence to Christ. Secondly, it's important because it's not only it calls to mutual submission, but it tells us why. Because mutual submission is called out of reverence to Christ. In fact, God's glory resides in our application of this. And the world needs to see the glory of God. But the church, sadly, has become the butt of a joke. Because they haven't recognized how their obedience to the word of God faithfully shows forth God's glory. The third reason this is an important verse is because it's a connecting verse. In the ESV, it goes on from the passage that we studied. Speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And then it goes on, submitting to one another out of reverence to Christ. And that term submission now helps us to focus backwards as well as forwards. And so it's about our mutual submission as a church, one to another, in our worship, and in our life together. And then it's husbands and wives, and on and on and on. So it's a connecting verse. And then finally, because the biblical concept of submission is a call to the bride of Jesus Christ to submit to the Lord Jesus himself. And as we'll see in weeks to come, our failure to submit in one area leads us to question the authority and submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the church fails in those areas as well. This morning, I'm going to prepare us for studying a little bit more deeply into the passages to come. And I would ask you to pray for this. Because this is a tough subject. It's a very difficult subject, even within the church. And I know that some of you guys are already loading up your questions. And that's okay. But I want us to look at these verses in light of biblical submission. So this morning, I simply want to give us a number of keys to biblical submission. First of all, from this verse, biblical submission is always mutual. Biblical submission is always mutual. We will see, as we have already, that biblical submission is to one another within the body of Christ. Speak psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to one another. It's a corporate worship submitting to one another. And we'll look at that in just a second. Then it's men to women and women to men. It's husbands to wives and wives to husbands, mutually. It's children to parents and parents to children. It's employers to employees and employees to employers. But all of it's wrapped up in Christ. And Christ's submission and Christ's bride's submission to Christ as well. See, brothers and sisters, it's always mutual. It always looks different for each one of us. But we're all called to submission mutually to one another out of reverence to Jesus Christ. So when Paul said, sings psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, he was talking about corporate worship. And in our corporate worship, as we look at our corporate worship, we talked about some of the worship wars that go on. But the worship wars that go on Sunday are just simply a small implication of greater wars that often rage within the church. And the wars rage not because there's just issues or problems within the doctrine of the church or within the scriptural teaching of the church, but it's often because we're not willing to submit to one another out of reverence to Christ. I asked this morning what the Holy Trinity was in Sunday school, and Talon answered appropriately, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then I asked what the unholy Trinity is. And Madeline, appropriately, she's been listening for a long time to my sermons. What's the unholy Trinity? Me, myself, and I. Me, myself, and I. And in me, myself, and I don't have to reverence Christ. Neither do I have to submit to you. Because I am Lord. And my interests govern the portions of my life that I'm interested in. And if you want to get along, you bow. And when all of us do that as a church, and I'm not suggesting that's an issue just with us, and I'm not suggesting any one issue. Oh, there's going to be a war that rages within the church. But brothers and sisters, we're called this morning to submit to one another. We try very hard to have blended worship at Westminster. The traditional hymns, creeds, responsive readings, the ways in which we do things with the contemporary. And I put contemporary in quotes because many of you will laugh and go, yeah, right. Because our contemporary is not super contemporary, because sometimes it's very hard, isn't it, to find good biblical doctrine. A while ago, I believe it was Charles Wesley, one of the great hymn writers of the church, complained about the music on Sunday morning, and his mom told him to shut up and do something about it. So he began to write good hymns. Maybe that's what we ought to be doing. But in our wars of worship, or in our desire for blended worship, maybe blended worship isn't about me and Terry and us getting all the hymns right, and are the hymns well played, and is the music well played, and whatever. Is this blended? Maybe this will never be blended until this is blended. Meaning to say that we submit to one another, that we recognize that we have different styles of worship. We enjoy different forms of worship. Some raise hands, some do not. Some get on their knees, and some do not. Some sit and some stand. It doesn't matter. All of us are worshiping the Lord together through Jesus the Son in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we can reverence Christ as we submit to each other. Put others' interests, their desires, before our own. And sometimes maybe the blend isn't all about the order of worship. But maybe the lack of blend is in the worshipers themselves, who sit in judgment as me, myself, and I. And maybe we need to give deference to one another in love and grace and bow in mutual submission to each other's desires and the ways in which we want to worship. The second key to mutual submission is members to church authority and leadership. Now, it might seem like that, well, we never submit as elders. That church is called to follow the elders, and that's just how it is. But that's not true. The Apostle Peter tells the elders not to lord it over them. They are under shepherds, and then he points to Jesus, under shepherds of Christ, the chief shepherd of the sheep. Therefore, they are to submit to Christ. And though they don't, and we don't, do it perfectly, we're called to submit, to listen, to discern, to bless, to encourage. And sometimes if you would see our wrestlings, you would realize that it's not all cut and dry. But it's often painful, and it's often submissive in ways that each one might not be able to recognize. The second key to biblical submission is when it comes to people, biblical submission speaks about role and not person. Whatever you do, get this one right, because the passages that follow will not make sense without this one right. It is about role and not person. Men and women are created equal in the image of God. God created them male and female in his image. And as such, they are created for glory by a God of glory, redeemed from their sin. And each man, each woman, each child has dignity because they are created in the image of God. And so therefore, in our persons, before the throne of God, we are utterly and completely equal. God sees us, men and women, boys and girls, young and old, equal before his throne. Sadly, this week, we had the funeral for our 5-month-old premature little baby. It was sad to see a very small 2-inch urn appear. But we worshiped and we celebrated because she had dignity in the Lord, because she was created in the image of God. And so in our persons, we have dignity. Wives are not called to submit to their husbands because they are less than them in their persons. Not that they have any they're not capable to do the tasks. They're not unequal in person. Men and women are created in their glory to be different and complementary to each other in life and in the roles that God has given to each of them. So when God calls us to submission, he calls us to submission within our roles, not our persons. There's not an elder in our church who is better than anyone else sitting in these pews. It's their role that they're called to submit in. There's no husband that is better than his wife in their person. They are equal before God in glory and in sin. But in their roles, they have different roles. I want to suggest to you, brothers and sisters, we live in a turbulent world where not just gender equality, we've gone way past that, but gender fluidity is a denial and the destruction of the glory of God's image in men and women. Man, if it wasn't hard enough just as men and women to try to figure out how to submit, now submitting in a gender fluid world is horrific. It's hard. Why? Because me, myself, and I determines who me, myself, and I is in my gender. God no longer does. And I would say to you, brothers and sisters, our culture, who is all about not submitting, doesn't understand that it is not about person but in role. But the reason they don't understand it, because they are destroying their persons who God created in his image for glory. That are living these truths out is very important to a world that is killing itself to try to find importance. This understanding of person and role is actually modeled for us in the Godhead itself. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so the third key is biblical submission is modeled to us, to the church, by the Godhead itself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The question in the Catechism asks us, how many persons are there in the Godhead? There are three persons in the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And the three are one God. the same in substance, equal in power and in glory. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, equal in power and in glory. Jesus is not greater than the Father, nor is the Father greater than Jesus or the Holy Spirit. They are equal in power and in glory. But Jesus says this about the oneness of Christ in John 17 in his high priestly prayer. Jesus says that he is one with the Father. Matthew 12 says this. And going out a little further, Jesus talks about this when he talks about being one with the Father. May they be one, you and I, believers, may they be one as we are one, Father. But then in Matthew chapter 12 in the Garden of Gethsemane, notice what Jesus is doing. And going a little further, he fell on his face and he prayed, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will be done. May your will be done. In his role as Savior, Jesus, equal with the Father, is submitting himself to the will of the Father, though in his flesh he desired not to, because he wanted the cup to pass from him, because he knew the cup of God's wrath was going to fall upon him. But he submitted himself in the role of Savior, though his person with the Father was equal. The Holy Spirit, John 16, Jesus says this, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine, and he will declare it to you. The Holy Spirit cannot say anything that the Father has not permitted him to say. He only speaks what the Father desires for him to speak. He submits to the will of the Father and the Son. The confession says that he proceeds from the Father and the Son. And yet, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are equal in person, and yet within their roles in our redemption, they submit to one another. Therefore, their persons are equal, as are men and women, husbands and wives, children and parents, employers and employees, equal in person, but different in role. The fourth key to submission, biblical submission, is that it is always tempered by the attitude, it is always called to reflect Christ and to be in reverence to Christ. Never are we called to lead, and never are we called to submit in anything but the reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ. His person, his character, his actions, and his attitudes. And we are to lead in that way, and we are to submit in that way. Because all of our actions towards one another biblically declare the glory of God and his desire for the church. So Paul calls us to mutual submission out of reverence to Christ. Paul will call husbands to be submissive. You might go, well, no, I just heard that for the wives. Wives, submit to your husbands. But Paul will call husbands to be submissive, to be like, reflect Christ like he is in Gethsemane. Maybe husbands need to spend a lot more time in Gethsemane. Not my will, Lord, but yours be done. How do I give? How do I lay down my life for the church, for my wife, as Christ did for the church? The next key for biblical submission is whatever the roles are, here in this passage, Christ in the church is what is at stake. Meaning to say how we play out our roles one with another, whatever those roles might be, they declare how Christ is the head of the church and how the church is to submit to Christ. And we will see in the weeks to come that those two things are so inseparable that we live in a culture, brothers and sisters, that say, because I don't have to submit to my husband and husbands don't have to act in a submissive way, if I can separate that, I can also say, I don't have to submit to Christ. The church no longer has to submit to Christ. Is it any wonder that within the realities of how the family lives today, that not only do we not submit to one another out of reverence to Christ, but the church has begun to not submit to the headship of Jesus Christ. And I would say to you, brothers and sisters, this is of vital importance in the world that we live. It is vitally important for us to get it right. So whatever our roles are, we are displaying Christ in the church and that inseparable role between Christ and his church. And then finally, the final key is this. Biblical submission is actually not about weakness, but it is all about strength. I will say to you, men and women, husbands and wives, children and parents, you cannot submit to one another without the strength of Christ flowing through you. Bishop Westcott put it this way in his village sermons. He said this, submission, biblical submission, is a sacrifice of ourselves. Submission in Christian sense is an act of strength, not of weakness. A victory, not a defeat. A victory over self, felt and realized. This is the first characteristic of that submission to one another by which we must each endeavor to fulfill St. Paul's words. It is not the easy, thoughtless, indifferent acquiescence of our mind, which is alike incapable of resolution and resistance, but the calm, steady, deliberate denial of his own wishes by one who knows well the value of that which he forgoes, and knowing still what he forgoes it for. I would say to you, as you look at these roles, and each is called to submission mutually to one another, we are never stronger than when we are applying the scriptures, wrestling with them, and applying them to our lives. But above all this, brothers and sisters, submission is all about the character and the person of Jesus Christ. Let me just close with this. Just close your eyes and listen to these words as we enter these passages in the next couple of weeks. From Philippians chapter 2, just close your eyes and listen to these words. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affliction and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and has bestowed upon him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Father, we ask that you would instill in our hearts a biblical understanding and application of submission. Submission is not easy. We need strength through the blood of Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit to apply the truth to our lives. And Father, I'm sure that there are many among us who are already coming up with their questions and arguments against. Help us all to wrestle with you in the Garden of Gethsemane. For you do not call us to anything that you have not already done for us as Savior and Lord. And Jesus, it's only through your submission that we are even called children of God. Thank you for submitting to the will of the Father. I pray, Father, that as we bow in submission to one another, not simply as individuals and families, but as a church family, as we die to self and think of the needs of others, I pray that you would blend our hearts in worship. And in doing so, fulfill what Paul says in these words in Philippians, that Christ would be exalted in our submission. That Christ would be exalted. And as this passage shows, you have promised that when Christ is lifted high, he will draw all men unto himself. Father, we confess on behalf of the church that our witness might be anemic because our application has been wrong. Grow us in strength to bow, and in doing so, to stoop to conquer, to stoop to bless, encourage, strengthen, and in doing so, exalt above us Christ, who is the head of this church. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.